Jake Kaplan is on the Astros beat. The man eats, sleeps, dreams of Astros baseball. And when he's not doing that, he's dreaming of Ben Simmons. Hi, Jake.
I knew you were going to start there.
Of course I was. You've known me well enough. Come on now.
What do you think they should do? I'm at a loss for what's next with my Sixers.
Well, I thought Daryl Morey did a very diplomatic thing yesterday by not saying what Howard Askin wanted him to say was, we want to get rid of his ass. He's not going to. He wants to, but he just can't say it publicly.
I haven't that much leverage right now, or at least compared to a few months ago.
Where are you right now? I mean, are you on a walk again, or what the hell? Are you in the Inner Harbor? Where the hell are you?
I'm actually at Whataburger Field, staring out onto an empty field. Well, I guess there's one ground crew guy out there doing the field stuff. But, yeah, I'm out here to watch the minor league ball today.
Damn, look at you trying to get a little sneaky story, get ahead of the game a little bit. I like your game so far.
Yeah, I wrote a story yesterday that went up this morning about one of the Astros' best pitching prospects, a kid named Hunter Brown. So go check it out on The Athletic.
How would you describe, if you know, the state of the Astros minor league system? I mean, not necessarily going team by team, but just it's not nearly as plentiful as it was, say, 5 or 6 years ago when Jeff Leno was making deals. But just generally speaking, where does the minor league system go, in your opinion?
It's in the bottom half of the rankings, and probably in most rankings, the bottom third. They have some good players. It's just they don't have like elite prospects, you know, like those elite prospects that kind of prop up your system, like Kyle Tucker did, or Alex Bregman, or Yordan Alvarez, like those guys that were in the top 50 or so of all these lists. That's what really is a game changer in the perception of the entire system. But they have some pitching. They have some players who could be good. It's a lot more like, not that there's any sure things in prospect land, but there's a lot fewer big name sure things, or as close as you can get to those type of players.
Because the reason why I ask that is that people always want to know what kind of deals the Astros might make before the July 30th deadline. You've got a lot of relievers who are on rehab stints right now, maybe coming back to the active roster. You've got six starting pitchers already, with Christian Javier being a seventh, who's now comfortably in that long relief role for the team. Miles Straw's playing better. Your reinforcements for guys like Bregman being hurt and Diaz have held up their own. To me, it feels like you can't make a deal unless something in your operation is worthy of making that deal. And I don't know how many players other teams are actively searching for that the Astros would be willing to give up.
Well, I think when you're talking about acquiring a reliever, which is like the likeliest thing that they're going to be looking for, they have plenty of guys they could trade for relief help. I don't think you have to give up a top prospect to acquire a reliever. And a lot of these relievers out there on the trades market aren't necessarily big names either. So there's some interesting ones out there. But I think the Astros have enough in their farm system, and even players who we don't consider prospects anymore, like an Abraham Toro type, that they could move for bullpen help. The issue would be is if they're trying to acquire like a center fielder, not that there's one out there, but maybe in another year if there were, I think that's where they would run into trouble not having enough in the high-end prospect territory.
Jake Kaplan of The Athletic here on Sports Talk 790. And Jake, do you think that James Click has it in the back of his mind that if we don't make a deal at the deadline, we have a plethora of starting pitchers, which we can just use for relief because you only need four starters in the playoffs and then go with that route?
Yeah, I think he probably does, but I think you're also relying on all those guys staying healthy if you go that way. And, you know, with pitchers especially, that's always tricky. And it's even more so when you're talking about guys coming off of a 60-game season, and a lot of these guys are young, too, and don't really have a huge track record of pitching full season. So I think it's like on paper, you could just say, oh, Christian Javier and Luis Garcia in the bullpen with Presley, you're good. But What if someone gets hurt and those guys have to be in the rotation again? So I still think when push comes to shove, they need one reliever. Maybe Pedro Baez comes back. Maybe Josh James comes back and is good. But I think you're counting on a lot if you don't make a move. And especially with how good this team's been playing, like it would almost feel like they're not maximizing what they could be if they don't make a move.
Does Brooks Raley have about 3 or 4 weeks to prove that he can be the left-hander? Or do you think that will be that the top of that bullpen looking list is to find a left-hander?
You want him to start pitching with his right hand?
No, I'm just saying going to get a left-handed reliever.
Oh, you said that he can be a left-hander. I don't think he's going to be a right-hander. No. I'm just being a smart ass. No, I think he's safe. I think he's still one of the more trusted guys back there. I think I don't know how you feel about the FIP metric, but his FIP is way lower than his ERA. It's like a 4-run difference, which suggests he's had a lot of bad luck. So I think they're actually kind of high on him and like him a lot better than maybe the public perception of him is right now.
Well, I mean, his ERA has been cut in half. I mean, it's at 6, so I guess you're right about that. Anything else really bothering you? I mean, this is a squad that's won 9 in a row. Granted, the Baltimore Orioles are barely a Triple-A team. But the Chicago wins were highly impressive. I'll tell you a sneaky good part about this run is that you have lost, you lost your third baseman, you lost your number one utility guy, and the guys that have stepped in those spots have kind of held their own for you.
Yeah. I think Abraham Toro and specifically looks really good compared to last year when he struggled. I mean, they're on a nice run. They're playing, after like having that gauntlet of a schedule, now they're having a super easy schedule. I don't think they play another good team for a little while. Indians, I guess you could say, are decent, but or Cleveland baseball team. I don't.
No, they're still the Indians. They're still Indians.
Okay. yeah. So I don't know. I there's not much to really poke holes in right now. They haven't had to use their bullpen a ton because their starters have been so good, and that's really their winning formula is either hit enough or pitch deep enough with their starters so that their bullpen doesn't get exposed.
I brought this up a little bit last half hour. I think these pitchers, and we saw it last night in a couple instances, are so angry about this new ruling being placed in the middle of the year that they're just going to be, and I don't know what the term would be, but they're going to be defiant, they're going to be argumentative, they're going to be insulted. This is only going to get worse before it gets better, right?
I don't know. We're talking about two pitchers out of like 100-something who've gotten checked in the last 2 days.
Yeah, but that's 2 days of two guys dropping their pants, Jake. I mean, come on now. How many games have you seen with pitchers dropping their pants prior to last night?
I don't know. I'm sure it's happened. But, I get your point. I think a couple guys were maybe trying to make a show of it. I don't know if that's going to become like an everyday thing. I think most pitchers seem to get it and are just like, whatever, it's 5 seconds, we'll move on to the next thing. Like, I don't really, like, we're talking about a few weeks ago about how it might slow the game down, and that's already a big issue, pace of play. But the way they're doing it, it's not really slowing the game down unless a pitcher throws a temper tantrum. So I don't know. I think the checks can be seen pretty easy if the pitcher cooperates.
Well, the number one thing that Trevor, don't call me Tyler Bauer, was saying was that you're asking umpires who are ill-equipped and ill-trained to make these decisions. So I guess the question is...
I mean, they're just feeling... They're just looking for a foreign substance. They're not... I mean, I don't know what they're ill-equipped to do. Like, we can all see discolored stuff. Like,
his argument is... What's the difference between can you really tell a significant difference between sweat and rosin mixed together and rosin and sunscreen mixed together? And I don't do that. I don't play baseball pitcher in my backyard, so I don't know the answer to that. But his point is that there's no, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what I've been using. And oh, by the way, you're the judge, jury, and executioner in a split second moment here.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't really know the difference either. In terms of like the feel of it, but it doesn't even look like they're really like feeling Like the hat, they're just looking, right? They're looking for something off. That's my impression, at least. Like when they're looking at the belt, they're looking at the hat, they're looking at the glove. They don't. Maybe some are like touching it to feel for a substance, but it seems like more of an eye test to me than anything else.
All right. So, how long are you staying in Corpus?
I got here yesterday, and I was here for the game yesterday. I'm going to drive back tonight. It's fun to be back. You know, in the minor leagues after not being able to go at all last year. And they've got some of their better prospects down here between Hunter Brown, Pedro Leon, and Corey Lee. So it's been interesting to watch, just even though it's a very small sample I'm seeing, obviously. But it's just good to see minor league baseball again.
And the shortstop position's in good shape, you're telling me?
I don't know. I only saw a few innings last night. Leon got pulled. I'm not sure why. I don't think he's hurt, but so I didn't really get to see much of the action. I think I'll see him here today a little bit on the pregame stuff with BP and whatnot. But it's always hard to tell off of a small sample, anyway. I mean, they're playing him there like 80% of the time, so they must think that there's at least a chance that he could play there. But he's still got a lot to learn and a long way to go. He's only recently started to hit down here, so, we'll see.
Just a name to keep an eye on for sure. Jake, safe travels back, my friend. We'll look forward to reading your stuff in The Athletic.
Thank you, sir. I'll talk to you next week.
You got it. Next week, that's Jake Kaplan, a weekly Wednesday and or Thursday contributor to the Matt Thomas Show.